the annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
It is episode 17 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards.
And we've got a big show for you this week, folks. A huge show, as a matter of fact. Paulie Vaughan from the Raiders actually came and joined us the night before last. Last night, yeah. Sorry, Ben. Well, it'll be the night before last by the time this comes out. So let's...
I'm confused
already.
When was he here?
The night Jack Whiten was at the NRL Judiciary, Paulie Vaughan was here and we're having a chat to him about things. So we're going to play that back for you very, very soon. And plenty more on the way, including a bit of cross-podcast pollination, if you will. Mick Meredith from the Mind Meat podcast, which you can also find on Podomatic, and a lot of people would know Mick Meredith. He's a stand-up comedian. He was on the Footy Show for years and years and years. Very funny fella, and his Mind Meat podcast is great. He asked a question of me the other day in his podcast, so we're going to answer it on this podcast.
I like it, man.
I could ring him or message him on Facebook, but I thought, no, we'll just do it podcast to podcast.
The public would need closure.
Yeah, indeed. So that's what it's all about. Benny, what have you got coming up for us, mate?
The UFC 203 final preview. Heavyweight titles up for grabs with the two number one contenders fighting it out in the semi-main event. CM Punk's long-awaited debut.
Mm.
The recap from the UFC Hamburg last weekend. Final preview on... Gennadyevich Golovkin versus Kell Brook, and they're fighting in the UK this weekend.
Yeah, nice.
And how about Vaughny? What a great bloke. He came to the bloody charity fight.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure my now ex-girlfriend that was there, when we had sexy time after the fight, I'm pretty sure she was thinking about Vaughny, and I wasn't even mad. He's that good of a bloke, and he is a handsome devil.
I tell you what,
and it's a great interview.
He's a big dude, isn't he? He's bloody tall.
Yeah, well, he's a front row mate. You right?
Yeah, I'll cut that out. Yeah.
Leave it in, man.
No, I'm not leaving that in. That's highly unprofessional.
We had three front rowers in here.
Yeah, we did. It was a bit of manned scent in the room. I don't know what you'd call it.
Lynx Africa?
Sex Panther? I don't know what it was. But anyway.
It smelled great.
It did smell good, didn't it? And it was fantastic to have a chat to Paul. But that's coming up. Also, Larry's going to join us soon with the traffic. And I just want to give a shout out at the top of this podcast to Larry, to Johnny Lang, who's one of our sponsors, and all of my mates who threw my Bucks party on Saturday night. And Benny, we ended up, well, a few of us, five of us, I think, ended up at Mr. Wolf at about 3:30 on Sunday morning.
It was pretty late and you were looking pretty haggard.
Yeah, well, we'd been on it since 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's a big day.
So it was a very big day. And your good mate Stoy gave me a Jack Daniels that I didn't need, but thank you, Stoy.
Well, my favourite part of that is when Larry, who was dressed as a priest,
yes.
I went to introduce him to Stoy. And Stoy's, he's a real life Ned Flanders. He's probably my nicest, most religious friend.
Oh, he's the nicest dude ever.
And I've gone to introduce him to Larry and his priest outfit. Stoy's seen the priest and ran for the hills. He thought he was going to burst into flames or something. That guy's got some skeletons in the closet, man. I love you, Stoy, but
yeah.
So I'm not going camping with you.
To all the boys that were at the Bucks party, thanks, fellas. We survived. It was a very, very big night.
No arrests?
No
tattoos?
No arrests, no tattoos.
You actually looked a bit tired, but you were very well behaved.
There you go.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Mate, when you're 43 years old and you're up at 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning, that's a long day.
And you weren't up for radio, you were still up.
That's right. I thought we would start the show off with one of the best songs ever written.
One of the best bands ever.
Indeed. Freddie Mercury would have had his birthday this week.
How old was he? 70? Did I see?
Yeah, he would have been. He would have been 70. 70
the best frontman ever?
Oh, without a doubt.
I concur.
He was born in Zanzibar City in Tanzania.
I was wondering what that date was. I thought you meant that's when this concert footage was recorded. I've got
No. This song was off a night at the opera, which I think was 77, I think was when that came out, 76. So we're going to start the show with Bohemian Rhapsody because Well, just, Oregon's one just of
the,
because.
The most original, unique songs, a timeless. Oh, who else sounds like Queen? No one ever will.
No, that's right. And there's a great doco done by the band about this song and the recording process, because when they did this, there were only 16 track recorders available. And so they record like 16 tracks and then bounce that down to 2 tracks. So then they had 14 tracks left, so they'd record the 14 tracks and bounce them down to 2. And by the time they got to the point where the song was almost finished, the oxide was wearing off the tape.
Shit, now it's just click and drag.
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly what
it
is.
Have you ever played, was it Brian Johnston's guitar?
Brian May.
Johnston's ACDC. Yeah,
correct.
He made that guitar himself.
Well, he made it with his father. His father was an electrical engineer. Brian May's got a PhD in astrophysics.
Yeah, I knew that.
And all that. But yeah,
he looks like he does.
Oh, he does, yeah. The guitar was made, the timber was the mantle above the fire in their house.
That's crazy. So he only ever had the one guitar.
It's called the Red Special, and he created that. And the only part on it that was purchased were the pickups, because him and his dad didn't know how to wind pickups. But everything else was made. The tremolo bar was made from one of his mum's knitting needles.
I never knew this.
Yeah, he used motorcycle valves as the seats for the tremolo and all sorts of stuff. And Guild have made copies of it for him. The original Red Special, the one he made that only comes out for recording now, is insured for £2 million.
Yeah, so it should be. Yeah. How handy is he? I used to be lost with my whammy bar, I'd fall off. How do I screw this thing back on?
He'd just build another one out of some knitting needles. So let's get stuck into it to kick off episode 17. Thanks to our wonderful sponsors, The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, and Lang's Auto Centre in Yass Road, Queanbeyan. It's Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody.
Reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go. Little high, little low. Anyway, doesn't really matter to me. Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Didn't mean to make you cry.
Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo
Figaro.
Magnifico. I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah, no, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let him go!
Bismillah, we will not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Let me go!
We'll not let you go.
Never let me go!
Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia.
Mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me. For me. For me.
That was Queen with Bohemian Rhapsody, and this is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty and Ben. Oh, and now
that is your best back announce
that
ever.
That was flawless.
That was fantastic.
That was flawless.
That was
unedited.
Man, 17 episodes in, and you've nailed it, son.
I got the back announce right, but I forgot how to get to your bloody house. I actually got lost. I was late tonight for anyone who's listening.
Oh, man, the roadworks at the end of Barracks Flat Drive.
Well,
that screws with people's heads at the moment.
I could blame that, but I got lost in the city that I've driven through 40 million times.
Right, okay.
These things happen. But anyway, so now let's go to our eye in the sky, Larry.
Father Larry.
Father Larry, the priest, helicopter pilot, mechanic, secretary.
He's everything.
He's hanging out over the top of GIO Stadium.
I do believe he is.
Okay, folks, this is Larry here in the Canberra Raiders chopper with another official traffic report for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm currently drinking a green beer. Why, you may ask? Well, it's not St. Patrick's Day. It's because the mighty Canberra Raiders have been kicking some serious ass and they are now in the semi-finals. At the moment, I'm hovering over GIO Stadium where preparations have already begun for this weekend's clash between the Raiders and the Sharks. Believe it or not, fans have already started to turn up. There's a sea of green as far as the eye can see. Raiders fans in their footy shorts and jerseys, but the odd Cronulla fan has made their way down from the Big Smoke as well. They're easy to spot as they are wearing beanies and earmuffs and heated jackets. Pussies. Parking is already starting to fill up, so get in quick. No major dramas to report other than a visually challenged man with a seeing eye dog harassing early arriving fans. Oh wait, that's just Michael Buettner from the MRC. One word, Buettner. OPSM. Anyway, I'm off to the tab. Croker for first try and Raiders to win by a mile. See you next week, sports fans.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is recorded in a bedroom in front of one very disinterested diamond python and occasionally a ginger cat called Alan.
Alan! Alan! Alan!
Oh,
was that, Alan? Steve, that Steve.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Time to thank one of the wonderful sponsors on our podcast, and that is, of course, The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Benny, I know you're in full fight mode at the moment. You trained yesterday afternoon, came here to interview Paul Vaughan, then took off again. I saw photos on Facebook 2 hours later. You were training again, man. You're going hardcore at the moment.
Yeah, mate. Last week's been good. Yeah. Really been enjoying training again. Yeah. And I do all my best work in the gym at night time. I'm usually in there midnight by myself. But got the phone call from a couple of mates that we're finishing up their weights. I just finished boxing before I came here. So just did a bit of extra cardio. It's all about the extra one percenters.
Yeah, nice.
And I'll be ready to go and fueled.
Now, your big fight, yeah, indeed. So your big fight we'll talk about later on, but the butcher shop you've been on the protein gear. What, have you worked out a favourite at the butcher shop yet?
Or I just don't even know what they're called. They're just awesome. I just eat them all. I'm actually having withdrawals, man. I ran out 2 days ago. I've got to go in.
Yeah, the way I started when I first started going to the butcher shop about 4 years ago, I just started at the left. And then work my way around to the right and then just work my way back again.
I started everywhere and pointed at everything.
That's a trap for young players.
I had to steal a trolley from Woolies to fit it all in there to get to the car.
If you want Canberra's best meat, award-winning bacon, and it's getting close to that time of year. It is September now. And
it's ham time.
It's getting close to ham time. Benny, I think like 2,000 Christmas hams they sold last year.
That's madness.
So get your orders into the butcher shop. We'll let you know when orders are being taken. It is the best ham, the best Christmas ham you've ever eaten, and I hand on heart say that. I'm not just saying that because they sponsor the show.
And you
it
and
is
I've,
that f***ing good.
We've eaten a ham or two in our time.
I've eaten several, Ben. I've eaten several.
Me too.
And these are awesome. Go and check them out. Dixon and Kayleen is where you will find the butcher shop. Get it down your neck.
Two men, two microphones, and no idea.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Well, Benny, sanity prevailed last night at the NRL judiciary and Jack Whiten's charge was dropped. Now, this is going to confuse people, but coming up later in the podcast, we talk with Paul Vaughan.
We weren't sure.
We recorded it last night. We didn't know what was going on, but yeah, it was dropped. Now, it should have been. It shouldn't have been. Given what happened with Mick Ennis, should have been dropped, no dramas. Now, I'm not sure if it was just me, but in yesterday's press conference before heading off to the hearing, I heard Ricky say, "I'm going to do everything to get Jack off." And I don't know if it was just me, but I laughed. That's probably because I'm a 43-year-old man-child, but I thought that was some of Ricky's best work for the season.
I've heard there was a similar thing in the Ultimate Fighter House years ago. It was like one of the first couple of seasons. There was a guy called Junie Browning, and he was playing up and getting drunk in the house and getting on everyone's nerves, and they were thinking about kicking him out of the house.
Yeah.
And Dana came into the house and said, "Oh, let's not kick him out. You know, let's make him fight, and instead of kicking him out, we'll beat him off the show." And then he said, "Oh, that didn't sound right."
Same sort of thing from Ricky yesterday.
Taking a page out of Dana's book.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a huge crowd at GIO Stadium, as we heard from Larry earlier in the traffic. The Viking clap will be in full effect. And for us Blues supporters, it'll be the time of the year to hate Paul Gallen as much as Queensland does. So that's always exciting. But even if your team hasn't made it into the finals, you can still have the disease known as finals fever.
I've got it.
But how do you know? Well, I'm glad you asked, Benny, because I'm here to help. It's time for this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut Top 5.
It's the top five signs you've got NRL semi-final fever. Okay, any of these, go and see your doctor.
All right,
coming in.
Can they give you a shot or a couple of tablets or something?
Probably like a copy of the 97 grand final and some Panadine. And you just go and have a lay down.
Was that Newcastle?
Yes.
Was that
Darren Albert, Joey Johns down the blind, yeah, Darren Albert.
That.
Oh.
Was that the penalty try? Oh, no, try actually won it right
yeah,
at the end.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was fantastic. Oh, so good.
It's 2016.
I know. I'm living in the past. You have to when Andrew Johns was the last good player.
Let me have it, man.
All right, coming in at number 5, you got your wife a makeover so she'd look more like Craig Bellamy.
That's hardcore, man. Isn't it? There's something wrong with you there.
The Martina Navratilova lesbian haircut. Fantastic.
It's coming back. AKA the Lego man.
Oh, dear. Number 4, you find yourself giving a motivational speech to the postie every morning.
You pump him up.
Yeah. Yep. So
he's probably too busy getting swooped by bloody magpies this time.
At this time of year, yeah. Number 3 in the top 5 signs, you've got NRL semi-final fever. You've been spreading Denker rub on your morning toast.
That smell makes me nervous, man.
Does it?
It really, because the only time I ever smell it's before a fight.
Just before
Dick
a fight?
Rub, deep heat.
Ah.
Even I'm nervous now. Just
so if I ever want to get
it,
you nervous, just a bowl of deep heat in here.
Fight or flight, man.
Number two, you keep asking your co-workers to shower as a group.
I always kept my undies on. I've got a shower story
you know what?
For
so
you.
So did I, dude. So did I. Because we had a Canadian PE teacher
I'm
in high
mode,
school.
Man.
Yeah. Battle mode? I was in the pool.
I've got a shower story for you, if you like.
Okay, let's have it.
Yep. I trained in Holland for 2 weeks with a guy called Tyrone Spong. He's one of the best kickboxers
Spong.
In the world. He's a legend of a bloke. Mm. He's a black dude from not Curacao, the other main island, Suriname.
Okay.
There's a lot of black guys in Holland from Suriname. Absolute lovely guy. Can't say enough good things about him. But after the first training session, I just got off the plane, like 34 hours of travel.
Yeah.
I was half asleep, trained like shit. Got in the showers. The only other white guy in the showers was 6'10", literally. And all I can say is the stereotypes are true and my undies stayed on.
Okay, so you're Captain Light Switch and Tyrone Spong, baby's arm holding an apple.
Oh, it was I couldn't stop looking at it. And I'm like, it's just like a car accident. I'm like, no wonder you got 25 kids, mate. Jesus. It's like a pepper grinder just swapping around. And he's drying off doing the full towel around the back.
Well,
shimmy.
As you would.
Oh, I couldn't look away.
As you would.
And then I told my girlfriend at the time about it when I got back. And subtly, a few minutes later, she goes, you know, next time you go to Holland, I might have to come with you.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, well, let's get the drum roll on. There it is. It is number one in the top five signs. You've got NRL semi-final fever. You build a life-size sculpture of Phil Gould out of breadcrumbs and dry lint.
Well, what's the difference between God and Phil Gould?
God doesn't think he's Phil Gould.
100%.
Yeah, fantastic.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, and Lang's Auto Centre, Queanbeyan. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the membrane!
And just so Dana White doesn't sue me out of existence, I'd like to say all the audio used in Ben's Biff-a-rama segment is courtesy of UFC's Road to UFC 203. Go and get it on Main Event.
We're throwing traffic your way, Dana, and I'm going to be fighting for you in a couple of years, mate. So
fantastic.
Take it easy. But now I'm going to throw a spanner in the works.
Oh, really?
I'm changing it up. I'm starting with the boxing news, man.
Oh, okay, cool.
So this weekend we've got Triple G versus Kell Brook, the unified middleweight champion of the world. Triple G, 35-0. 32 knockouts with a 91% KO ratio.
That's pretty good,
isn't
it?
He's never been knocked out. And including his amateur career, he's had 375 fights.
Holy shit, he's the
most dominant middleweight champion of all time.
That's Costa Zoo level fights. Didn't Costa have like 3,000 amateur
fights?
Yeah,
a lot of amateurs do. There's a guy come through now called Vasily Lomachenko. He's cut from a similar cloth, and he's just an absolute gun. And he's fighting a guy called Kell Brook, who's 36-0 in his own right, but 13 pounds lighter at 147. So he's at 25 KO. So he's still the goods as well. But they're fighting this Saturday, September 10. And a week out from the fight, surprisingly, Kell Brook, who's jumping up two weight divisions, as I just mentioned, to face the hardest hitter in middleweight history, it was actually weighing more than Gennady.
Yeah,
he went
right.
from 147 pounds at fight weight to 167 pounds a week out, while Triple G is at 162 pounds, which is 74 kilos.
Okay.
So it's pretty interesting that he's put on so much weight.
Maybe like me, he's got the metabolism of a snail.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Fantastic.
I think he might have been, might have changed the diet a bit, might have put in a few more calories.
He's just been pumping the potatoes.
But, mate, at the open workout that they had actually, I'm not sure if it was today or yesterday, but I watched the video, and he looks like he's maintained his speed. Be interesting to see what happens with his stamina.
Yep.
But, mate, he's looking pretty good. He's an 8-1 underdog. But I'll definitely be watching the fight because he's been talking it up and he seems very confident. So now we'll get on to the UFC.
All right.
Let me do a recap from the UFC Hamburg in the weekend, starting with the semi-main event, which was featured the number two light heavyweight in the world, the tallest guy in the division, and the best thing to come out of Sweden since Roxette. How good's Roxette? Alexander Gustafsson, he's a legend. He had a very, very dominant performance against UFC newcomer Jan Błachowicz from Poland. put in on an absolute wrestling clinic, which is very rare for a guy from Sweden to have such awesome wrestling. Everyone talks about when he's fight with John Jones, which could have gone either way. Mate, he actually took John Jones down, and John Jones wrestling, he's a freak of nature with wrestling, a real tall, long guy. So very rare for a guy from Sweden to have that level of wrestling. And it's good to see him back in the win column, because he was contemplating retirement last year. He hadn't fought for 11 months. So I definitely I hope he hangs around. He's only 29 years old, and he's got plenty of left in the tank. And, mate, outside of a submission loss to Phil Davis in 2010, he's only lost to, like, the top three guys in the world. So he's an absolute gun, man. So I hope he hangs in. He was still sitting on the fence a little bit about retirement afterwards. But hang in there, Gus. I'm with you, mate. He's a fellow Viking. I call him the Viking.
Okay, nice.
So I'm sure this will get to him.
Oh, now, no doubt. We're huge in Sweden.
The main event was a cracker. We've got Josh Barnett, Andre Arlovsky, with two former UFC heavyweight champions. First round, bear with me.
Yep.
Barnett dropped Arlovsky. 2 seconds later, Arlovsky dropped Barnett. 2 seconds later, Barnett dropped Arlovsky, all in the space of 5 seconds.
Yeah, I saw the footage. It was unreal. It was
madness. Yeah, I wish I got the recording from the commentator, who's an English guy called Dan Hardy. He's a pretty reserved kind of dude. Like, very awesome analyst, but very reserved. He nearly had a meltdown watching it. And I think Andre getting dropped twice like that so quick, as well as the constant pressure from catch wrestling and arguably the best heavyweight grappler in MMA, I think it led to Arlovsky slowly getting overwhelmed in a very awesome fight, but eventually losing in the third round to a rear naked choke by Josh Barnett. Andre Arlovsky has been KO'd 9 times in a 17-year career, including getting flatlined in his first fight. And that's just knockouts, let alone knockdowns and all the other times, you know, your brain gets buzzed. And he's had 3 losses in a row now.
So that's probably it, you think?
He's 38 years old. I think it's time for him to call it a day. So anyway, that's just my bit of healthy advice for you, mate. I'll get knocked out 10 times and I'll probably still be fighting. So call me the pot.
Old letterbox head.
Yeah, exactly. So on to the UFC 203, Stipe versus Overeem for the UFC Heavyweight Championship.
I've got to say, it was interesting watching that, where we get this audio from, the UFC Road to 203, and, you know, they're talking up Overeem, and not at any point one mention of steroids or anything, because there was a very quick, tiny glimpse of you in that as well.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, it was my finest moment. Yeah. Falling on my ass.
Crumpled in a heap on the floor. But you got up.
I was blocking his shot with my head, man. So, mate, well, we've got a little bit of audio from the show. Have a listen to it.
At UFC 203, 4 of the best heavyweights in the world will battle inside the octagon. But this weight division is the most volatile in MMA. And none of these men deny that fact.
Laying past anybody in this heavyweight division is a mistake.
The heavyweight division, man, big dudes with small gloves, anything can happen.
Everybody wanna finish the fight early.
Incredible.
One wrong mistake and it's done, it's over.
These 4 men have been competing for years.
That's it, and it's over.
And have traded wins and losses over time.
Travis Brown has done it!
On September 10th, anyone can come out on top.
That's it! It's all over!
Cleveland native Stipe Miocic captured the UFC heavyweight belt in May.
Come on.
Opening the door for his first title defense to be a home game.
UFC always wanted to come to Cleveland, and I think it's needed a reason too. And so, you know, that gained the ammunition.
He will face Alistair Overeem, who has been champion in nearly every notable organization there is, except for the UFC.
I got 86 fights all over the world, 22 years training and competing. I know I will be coming out on top.
So as mentioned there, if Alistair Overeem can win, he'll become one of the most decorated martial artists of all time. He'll be the Strike Force champion, the Dream champion, which was a very high-level Japanese organization.
Yeah.
Usually in the remnants of Pride, but there's some absolute quality fighters there. The K-1 champion.
Yeah, let's not forget a dirty f***ing drug cheat either.
That was Scotty Masters. And if he added this one, it'd be the UFC champion as well. So. Yeah.
And I mean, there's no doubt the guy's got talent, but
absolutely.
You know, I mean,
but mate, I'm not even mad at him. As I said, in Japan,
yeah. And I mean, you said he was nice to you after the fight, and he messaged you and everything. But still, it's, you know, it's that whole thing Mark Hunt's been going on about of late. It's just, if you were on the same level playing field and you copped the loss, you'd cop it and you go, yeah, fair enough.
I'll actually have some big news next week about a fighters association that's just been started. Okay. I listened to a whole podcast on the guy that's going to run it.
Yep.
Very interesting news on a fighter's potential fighter union from a very well-respected guy in Major League Baseball, amongst other sports, in America.
He
runs the union for MLB, Major League Baseball. So very, very smart man. I listened to a podcast on the other day.
Yep.
We'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
But back to the fighter. Concerning little fact for Stipe, who's fighting in his hometown of Cleveland, the last two heavyweight fights, both the champions
fought in their hometown
and lost. Cain Velasquez in Mexico.
Yes.
And Verdum in Brazil.
Yeah.
So hopefully, he seems like a seriously great bloke who still works part time as a firefighter.
He does.
He did a 12-hour shift the day he got back from winning his belt in Brazil. And hopefully, he can be the one to break the
hoodoo.
Curse.
Yeah.
The curse. So,
very nice.
The third last fight of the night, CM Punk, Mickey Gall, who's finally, after signing to the UFC 22 months ago, he will finally step in the cage after, you know, he had back surgery, and I think he had neck issues as well.
Yeah.
And he's been training with renowned trainer Duke Rufus, who was the holder of one of my three world titles 14 years before me in 1995, and also the commentator for Glory, including some of my fights I had, including the one at Madison Square Garden, which is... And he is the voice behind the That's Insane in the Membrane.
Yeah, the segment.
Quote into my Bifurama intro.
Yeah, right.
So here's Punk talking about his reasons for fighting and his mentality.
I think I'm the everyman. But I think my story is interesting because I left behind this career and this entire world that other people would probably kill to have.
Phil Brooks, better known by his moniker CM Punk, is one of the most decorated professional wrestlers of all time, who then transcended into the world of pop culture.
Wow, that's sweet of you. Snap the dip. Awesome.
But despite his tremendous success both of fame and fortune, over time, his passion waned, and he became indifferent towards the very thing that made him a household name.
For the longest time, when I was still wrestling, I didn't feel a thing. My music would hit, there'd be 80,000 people out there. I'd be wrestling somebody that people idolize and fawn over, and it'd just be ho-hum. You know, I was punching a clock, and I hated it.
We'll put it around our ankles, and we're gonna go lateral walk for 5 yards.
Brooks began to search for something that would give him that fire once again.
Reach!
And his focus shifted towards mixed martial arts.
Perfect, good job.
Regardless of what happens, regardless of what the outcome is, you know, I got into this knowing it's the worst thing that could happen.
Real loose, real loose.
Would I get knocked out in 5 seconds?
Nice. Nice, there we go, good job.
I've lived most of my life in front of cameras.
There we go.
I have my pants on national television. I don't think you can get more embarrassing than that.
Nice, punk, that's what I'm talking about.
You can't live your life by what somebody else thinks you should do.
And time, all right, guys.
You don't get to live twice, you get one chance.
The Punk does look to have proved in recent footage. Obviously, mate,
he's come a long way.
But you train for 18 months full-time, you've got to improve.
Mate. Oh, you have to.
And you got money in the bank. There's no excuses, man. But the facts are, he's a 37-year-old jiu-jitsu white belt with zero fights, taking on a 24-year-old jiu-jitsu brown belt, which is the second highest belt, with 4 fights for 4 wins, 2 submissions. So it's not looking good for him, but, you know, you got to take your hat off to him. He's got to...
Balls, I mean, he's doing something.
And I'll certainly be watching.
And I think the world will be. And he's doing something that takes a lot of guts.
Dude,
a lot of stupidity involved on his
and
behalf.
And he's copping a lot of hate. But you know what,
of course he is.
He's going to get in a cage and fight in front of the world.
Yeah.
He's a multi-millionaire. He's worth over $25 million when he retired from wrestling 2 years
ago. Oh, really?
Ago. Yeah, that came out on Forbes.
Wow.
So, mate, he's doing all right. He's not doing it for money.
Yep.
Joe Rogan reckons he's doing it just to impress his missus. But whatever it is, mate, he's still getting in there and having a go. And whether it's fair that he's in there or not,
yep,
there's going to be eyes on TV and the UFC is going to make money off it. It is a business, so good luck to him, I say. So next week, obviously, I'll have the 203 recap, some big positive Lucas Brown news. I'll get the Fighter Association / Union news for the UFC.
Yep.
And also a preview of arguably the biggest kickboxing fight ever with Bader Hari versus my former opponent, current world number one, Rico Verhoeven, who they couldn't be more of a contrast in every single way. It's a true fire and ice matchup. So
yeah, nice.
I'll have some pretty cool audio from that too.
Beautiful, Benny.
That's a wrap, mate.
One of them put Hopper to sleep within one round. The other had his career put to sleep as part of a business restructure.
Consider it severance pay. Take the train.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Well, it's that time again to thank another sponsor of this podcast, Johnny Lang and the crew at Lang's Auto in Yess Road, Queanbeyan. And here's another string to their bow, Benny. He's very good at organising a Bucks party.
It certainly looked like it. By the time I saw, he's looking like he had quite the day.
Yeah, I think Johnny had a fair bit to do with organising my shindig, mate, and everyone had a bloody ball. So,
yeah,
go down and get your diff fixed and then get him to sort out your Bucks party.
Is that a euphemism?
No, I said diff.
Oh, okay.
Diff.
Sorry, my bad.
Yes, indeed. I noticed you're in your old man's car tonight.
Yeah. Old dad hasn't his license for a few years, the old fart. So I'm buzzing around in mum's thing because, you know, the government pays
Why
for
not?
Petrol.
Yeah, there you go.
But I do have to get the soccer mum van all prepped up, ready to give back to good old Sykesy,
nice.
Who lent it to me. So I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get it serviced. I'm going to get some new tyres put on there.
Yeah.
And then it's going to run so great, I'm not going to want to give it back.
And there you
I
go.
I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I might even get a paint job.
Does Sykesy even care?
Not really.
No.
Nah, he's a legend. Good on your Sykesy.
There you go. And if you want to go and see Queanbeyan's Legends of Mechanic Town, go and see Johnny, Dino, and the crew down at Lang's. They can sort out any dramas you got with your car, all the slips you need, even third-party insurance. Go and check them out at 44 Yass Road, Queanbeyan.
One of these guys won the Australian heavyweight boxing title.
The other was told to f*** off by Angelina Jolie.
Squad goals.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty. We got a mention on another podcast during the week.
We did, Benny. Mick Meredith, funny man, comedian, musician. He does
he
it all.
He can do it all.
He was a clown at one point in his previous life. He was. He was a clown.
I believe it. After seeing some of his stand-up that you played me.
Yeah, no, he's a god. Love Mick's work. And he does a podcast, which you can find if you're listening to us on Podomatic. Just go to the search function and type in Mind Meat.
Is he on iTunes as well?
He's on iTunes. He just puts it out twice a week. It's just Mick on his own just talking about shit.
And if the name doesn't ring a bell, Google his name because I recognise him from the footy show when he showed me before.
Yeah, Mick was on the footy show plenty of times.
Yeah.
Funny stuff. Anyway, let's have a little listen. This is what Mick said on his podcast during the week.
But I've been power walking and today, first day of spring, lots of movement in the bushes, lots of tails running into bushes. Now, as far as I'm concerned, they are fucking snakes. Fucking snakes. They could have been lizards, but I'm very paranoid. I think they were snakes. So I'm shitting myself. I'm a walk today. I should look up snakes of Olympic Park. They're probably not poisonous, although Australia, everything's fucking poisonous. I should, a shout out to Scotty Masters. He's a snake man. He keeps snakes. He's from the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Very good podcast. You should check it out. I listen to it every week. The Guy Sork podcast. I like to shorten everything. But he was an ex-radio man. He's doing a great podcast with Ben the Governor Edwards, I think. I haven't looked this up. I listen to it all the time. I should know. Very good podcast. It's like a radio show. But there's a question for Scotty. What are the fucking snakes of Olympic Park? And he keeps snakes. Why would you fucking keep snakes for? There's a question for your show, Scotty. Why do you keep snakes? Do you cuddle them? Do you milk them? I don't know. I'm not a snake guy. I'm not a scary animal guy. got rid of a dog because it fucking gave me the shits.
All right, so I've got a couple of questions to answer for young Mick there. So,
tell us about the snakes.
Yeah, firstly, let's start with the snakes of Homebush, of Sydney Olympic Park.
Are they similar to the snakes of Queanbeyan, this bedroom?
No, well, maybe. Because Mick said, oh, they're probably not poisonous. Most of them would be, Mick.
It's Australia.
Yeah, I mean, the only python you're going to have in that area in Sydney, carpet pythons don't really get down that far. You probably have some diamond pythons.
Too cold.
Yeah, it can get too cold in Sydney over winter. So you definitely have diamond pythons up there, but I guarantee you, giving Homebush, it's near Parramatta River and everything, so I guarantee you that there's the eastern tiger snake, right, would be there for sure. And I'm not just saying this to scare Mick.
It doesn't sound pleasant.
Because he's out power walking at the moment, and more power to him for doing that.
Just get him some bite-proof gumboots.
Yeah, and the female tigers, Mick, they'll give birth to 20 to 30 live young.
Jesus.
So they don't lay eggs. They give their live bearers.
How big are they? Like a worm?
Yeah, they're not real big, but they can still kill a man. They've got enough venom to kill a man
straight away from
the minute they're born. Yeah.
Shit.
Red bellies, you'd have red belly black snakes there as well. But you like red bellies because red bellies kill the brown snakes, which will also be around Homebush.
Really?
Yeah, red belly.
They poison them?
No, they eat them.
But how do they kill them? Are they like just bigger and stronger? And
no, well, they just, well, they do bite them, but yeah, they swallow them whole. So red
bloody
belly,
hell.
If you live on a farm and you see a red belly black snake, that's a good thing because you know it's going to kill the brown snakes. So, Mick, you've got three of the deadliest snakes in Australia around Homebush and maybe the odd diamond python who won't hurt you. They're sooks.
I feel like we should buy Mick a mongoose to keep him safe.
We'll get a mongoose, call it Benny, and it can be his bodyguard.
We'll look after you, mate.
So there you go. And the reason I've got them, I've just always been fascinated by reptiles, even as a little kid. There was a show on in Newcastle when I was growing up, long before Steve Irwin, but it was the same kind of show. With a local bloke up there, and he was always having reptiles on the show, and my uncle lived up at Gloucester and there were snakes at his property and just always loved them. So I do cuddle my snakes, Mick, but I don't milk them because they don't have milk. They're pythons. They strangle their prey to death.
And can you make sure when I'm house sitting for you in a couple of months that they're all fed?
Oh, yeah. So you definitely
you'll walk back in and I'll be sitting in one of the python's guts.
So you're definitely going to house sit?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, there you go.
It's
all
party
right.
time.
Yeah. Well, you got the pool. Fantastic. But yeah, no, they'll be sorted, man. You won't have to touch
them.
Thank
God.
So,
and
yeah.
Speaking of Steve Irwin, there was the 10-year anniversary of his death last
10-year
week.
10-year anniversary,
well.
Yeah, of him and Peter Brock.
I was about to say, Brocky must be coming up as well, because I remember it was the same month.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks after was Brocky.
How about that? Two Australian icons, so close.
Yeah,
not even that old, really.
No, that's right. Both of them still had plenty left to offer, indeed. But there you go. So, Mick, that's the story with those. And we're going to lead into another song on the podcast now. It's kind of local music because a couple of the boys in this band are local. Jimmy Wark and, of course, also Tristan, that used to be the drummer in Tonk, in a band called Longreef out of Sydney. They joined that. And they've been touring America for the last couple of years. But the band's on a bit of a hiatus at the moment. The lead singer's dad got pretty crooked. So, the band's taken a bit of a back seat, but this is a great little tune from Longreef. If you missed them here at the ANU last year, if they do come back, go and check them out. This song's called She Likes the Ladies.
So do I.
That was massively pervy.
Short skirts and long legs, she talks with her body, says no one can get by without taking their eyes from off of her tight everything. She knows she wins 'cause she never takes anyone home with her. She ain't buying anything I say. Maybe she just likes the ladies. Watching her kiss a girl drives me crazy. I'd come for her if only she'd take me. Sex in my hair, I don't want you so bad, baby. She likes the taste of just a few flavors. I got the one, I know she could save her. I'll drive her home with my dick Mercedes. Maybe she just likes the ladies. Sex is her body, that girl's in demand. The look she sends back says you don't stand a chance. She's eye candy, I can taste her. Every drop I hate to waste her.
She just likes the ladies. Watching her kiss a girl drives me crazy. I'd come for her if only she'd take me.
Maybe she just likes the ladies. Watching her kiss a girl drives me crazy. I'd come for her if only she'd take me.
Sex in my hair, I don't want you so bad, baby.
She likes the taste of just a few flavors. I got the one.
The podcast you are listening to is all true. Proving once again that the truth is not pretty. Just like its hosts. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty and Ben.
We're bad at being the green machines. We hit them hard, so they see green. We're big and strong, we're fast and lean. That's why we're called the green machine. We're the bad and mean green machines. Some men from the NCT. Don't try and stop these men in green, cause we'll hit ya.
Well, I've always wanted to play that on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. It's the Raiders theme. That does drive you mad when you are an opposition fan out at GIO Stadium and your team's getting hammered, as has happened to the Knights more often than not over the last few years. It is Scotty and Benny, and we are joined in the studio by Paulie Vaughan. G'day, Vaughny.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you?
Very, very good.
Jesus, well, some meat in the room.
There's some big boys
there. There's about
there,
400 kilos sitting there.
It's a fair front row, actually.
Oh, dearie me. Now, listen, this interview right now was recorded on Tuesday night, so I'm going to keep a close eye on Twitter because Jackie Whiten's tribunal got held up because one of the guys on the panel missed his bloody flight.
So we don't know what's happening.
It's been pushed back, but it has started. Jack's in there, and the prosecutor's got 5 video angles and 8 still shots he's submitting as evidence, is what we've heard on Twitter. So
it made the back page of the Telegraph today?
It's on everything.
Yeah,
it's on
big
everything.
News, man.
It's the inconsistency, I think, with the match review committee.
Well, who's the other one? Ennis.
Yeah, well, Ennis's was worse and didn't get a look in. Either both blokes go or both blokes are fine.
Yeah.
That's, I think, been the big issue.
In general, freaking the shoulder charge shouldn't even be a freaking rule anyway. What are your thoughts on that, Paul?
Yeah, for myself, I think, taking a kickoff is actually quite nice because you know there's not going to be any blokes flying out trying to kill you, which is nice. But, I mean, for the game.
And it's a low percentage move anyway, really. You know what I mean? If you can actually take a bit, slip a bit, take an angle.
I think it was made famous by Sonny Bill when he was playing and he pulled it off pretty well.
Yeah.
I think, it's nowadays it's more about the technique, and if you need to wrap the arms and have a good technique in defence, and the game's changing. And I think it's definitely the way to go.
Yeah, Benny, I know Vaughn, he's an attractive man, but don't forget your microphone's in front
he's
of you.
He's a handsome guy. I can't take my eyes off him.
We'll turn the microphone
around. Especially between you and him.
So looking at it.
What a piece of meat, boys.
All right, I'm going to get it out of the way before we get started. So you're going to Newcastle next year?
there's been a lot of rumours.
Yeah.
But, I'm contracted next year for Raiders, and hopefully I can stay.
Yep.
But we'll have to wait and see what happens.
I'll leave it at that. But, I mean, your world sort of got turned a bit upside down this year when Junior came down.
Yeah.
He's a big boy, and he got injured. You got injured. He came in.
Yep.
Now, he got injured. You came back. You've had 3 or 4 great games back in grade.
Yep.
And now I do believe it's been announced he's back for the first semi-final this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, no, mate, to be honest, it was good for the club to get Junior down in Canberra. He's a quality player.
Yeah.
And, we needed that quality player in the front row there. It's good for the club, but, unfortunately – I sort of took a bit of a fall for it. I had to go down to Manny's. I got dropped there for 2 weeks, and I was okay with that. I needed to get my form and confidence back, and I did that. And the last couple of weeks of grade, I've been pretty. I felt that I've been pretty comfortable, and I've sorted right back in and played a couple of good games.
But, yeah, yeah.
Well, I've been named as 18th man this weekend, and I'm a little bit shocked about it, but that's what happens. And obviously, I want to wish the boys all the best, and hopefully they get the win down there in Canberra. It's going to be obviously a big crowd, and the boys will be up for it. But
it's going to be massive.
How good's the Viking clap going to be?
It's going to be awesome.
I tried doing one in here 2 weeks ago. It was just me and Scotty. It didn't quite have the same effect. And Stevie P was here as well. It wasn't quite the same impact.
Three people, 20,000 Canberra.
It does look pretty cool.
Well, I heard Tuesday afternoon, because I know corporate tickets and Ticketek melted down on Monday morning, but they opened up standing room seats only at 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon, which sold out in a matter of minutes as well. So it's going to be the biggest house. I reckon it'll probably break a record this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Yeah. Obviously get capacity down there in Canberra. I'm a local born, haven't seen it capacity for a long time. Yeah. So with that clap, it's going to be unreal, and it's going to be a good game to watch.
Yeah, nice.
I'll tell you what, anyone though who misses out on a ticket, they're going to be green with envy. See what I did there? That could have been one of your top five jokes, Scotty.
I did.
That was the top one.
As soon as you walked in, you've copped a few tonight at training, haven't you?
Well, your nose looks like this when you're with that sneaky freaking Russian Alexei, and we go, okay, we'll just do some play light sparring. And I walk out, my nose is all over my face. And he's like, what are you talking about? You're alive. That was light sparring. Shut up.
Now, Vaughn, you are a big unit. And I remember talking to you at the Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy Fight Night. Yep. And you were going, there's no way in hell I'd get in here. I mean, you obviously do pad work and stuff at training. But you never had the want or the urge to step in the ring?
Yeah, definitely not, mate. After I watched Benny, obviously a big fan of what Benny does and the boys that get in the ring. He's one of my good mates, Juki. I'm a big fan of his as well.
We'll get to Juke soon.
I actually have a Duke question, but I'll save it for later. On a more serious note, did your missus ever get upset about the horny for Vaughny banner that used to fly high?
She was a little bit jealous. I think she was. But it's a funny thing, and I'm all for it. So
that wasn't. I remember one of the best banners I ever saw at the footy was at the Raiders ground, and it was when the Knights were playing one year when Willie Mason was playing, and it was like, who needs a big Willie when you've got Tonguey?
That was a ripper. That was a
fantastic banner.
Yeah,
that's good as gold. Well, let's. I can't hold it off anymore. Okay. Can we talk about Duke?
Duke Didier and you're good mates. I see you tagging each other BFFs? In everything on Facebook
all the time.
We're
pretty close, yeah.
I think you're, when you get two people that...
A bromance?
It's a bromance, and when they get together, bad things happen.
It's exactly, if you ask my missus, when we get together, she's nearly banned me from her a couple of times.
Because Duke's dad, Jeff, I love Jeff. He loves it when I hang out with Duke, because he knows I want to go to bed at midnight. And it's all good. I'm a good influence, but I hear different things with you, mate.
It's probably why I'm there back at the Diddy's residence. He's got a lovely lovely old, and me and Duke are pretty good
mates. You played the piano at 7 a.m. a couple of times. I've been there.
I've been forced to listen to his piano playing, and I'm not real happy about it.
He can play.
It's strange. He's sort of like his sealer when he gets the girls back. And
I was in. It was a deal. I was done. I was locked in.
Take me to the room.
Bloody hell. But so imagine him playing sober. I've only ever heard him play at 7 a.m. on a Sunday.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Mate, he'd be on fire. When you guys win the GF, you're gonna go on a bender for sure.
It will probably be.
You deserve it. Mate, Duke will show you the way.
If we win the grand final, I probably won't stop for about 3 years.
Yeah, nice.
You come back, you've been middleweight.
Exactly. I'll be winger. 50 kilo winger.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to have a look at Twitter. Yeah, no, and still no updates from James Hooper up at NRL HQ about what's going on. What's the thoughts in the team? Ricky was pretty confident in the press today. Yep. Is everyone thinking Jack's going to be there and it's all good? Or?
It was funny. I was at HQ yesterday, and I walked past Ricky and our football manager walked past, and they were certain that they didn't have a case to answer to. Yep. And then midday yesterday, he gets called for nearly four games, which is ridiculous, especially what Michael Ennis did. His shoulder charge, his arms were tucked, and there was no way he was wrapping the arms around. But Jackie was pretty. He was in good spirits this morning at training, and for his sake, I hope he gets off. It's a long, it's a big kick in the guts if you train all year and you play and you miss the finals. It's
especially a key player like White.
Exactly. Yeah. You need him there.
Yeah, I mean, Jack had a few dropsy moments at the start of this year and sort of form just disappeared. But when he's came on, back he's on, so man. Quick. Oh, yeah. He's been fantastic the last sort of 8-9 weeks. Yeah. Funnily enough, you guys have had 10 wins on the trot.
Exactly. Yeah.
Raiders have always had good bloody fullbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look,
bloody Belcher, Shafkovsky.
Yeah, Belcher. Well, there's been two. Plenty of them. Yeah, but, and Mullins.
Mullins, that's the other one.
There's the last 30 years coming. So absolutely awesome. But I mean, you've been around the club for, it was 2013 was your debut?
Oh, debuted, 2013.
And Ricky came in after Dave and everything, and there were a lot of people going, shit, what's Ricky doing to the squad?
I remember
meeting Ricky when he first came to town at a radio station function, and he said, they're going to have to stick with me because I've got a plan and I know what I'm doing. And I think Brad
Arthur...
Brad Arthur will be the first to tell you that Parramatta's form this year, despite all the bullshit off the field, wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for what Ricky did a few years back at Parramatta. He cut the wheat from the chaff and got it all sorted. It'll be a great turnaround. The wheat from the chaff, mate.
Have you ever heard that before?
I was just going with it, but no, I haven't.
I think we understand what it means, but we never heard that before, man.
Yeah. There you go. It's an old Aussie saying.
Modern day, we just say he cut the shit.
But that's what he did, and the team just seems to have bought into it big time. Yeah. And guys like, you know, as much as it pains me to say, Joey Leilua, who, you know, came down here, and Ricky's just turned him into a superstar with Rapana.
Did he come away like halfway through the season?
Last year, halfway through the season. And came in overweight, needed to drop some kegs, and didn't make the weight before Christmas last year, so I had to train through Christmas.
Mate, you can't carve a sculpture out of a pebble.
There you go. I like that.
I remember that too, actually.
That's a good one.
That's one for preseason.
You're an Adonis, mate. Me and Scotty got to remember that one.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously everyone's bought into it, and so there's a definite feeling that you can do it, but it's funny, only one of the two sides that beat you guys at home this year was Cronulla.
Yeah, you know, it's a good matchup with Cronulla. They're a very physical team, and I think the first time that we versed Cronulla, that's what got us. You know, they were very physical, and they're really nitty sort of, you know, they get under your skin, and they
Ennis and Gallen, they pull your hair, they grab you, just going through
that experience is paying off now.
And you know, we got them up in Cronulla, and the boys are very confident, but it's going to be a tough slog. You know, they've got class all over the field, so it's going to be a good one.
And I mean, I remember, I think it was an elimination semi about 3 or 4 years ago when Papa and Gal just about beat the living shit out of each other. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, and the media really
hung on to that. Home for round two.
They milked it for everything.
Money's on Papali.
Yeah, so I'll team up a training this week and hopefully.
How good is it for the NRL that four of the top teams in the finals are non-New South Wales teams?
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
How good is that for the future?
I mean, if you had New Zealand in.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
It truly would be national.
Mate, the day's going to come.
Yeah, it'll get there.
The talent's so well spread out.
Cold, so.
Well, I just love the best thing about the Raiders is there's no, like, superstars, quote unquote. But
no, well, it's a champion team, team of champions.
Yeah, yeah. They all work together. They play for each other, which I think is a huge thing.
Yeah, a bloke like Jared Croker hasn't played Origin yet is beyond
me. He's a consummate professional.
Everyone forgets he's 25 years old.
It's disgusting.
He's going to break every record that there is for the Raiders.
I think this has been his best year as well. His defence has improved, and I think that was probably maybe the biggest thing that he was lacking in not making those rep teams. And I think, you know, this year, I think he could possibly get picked in the Aussie team, you know, if not train on, and then probably
based on form.
I mean, him and Joey Lalu were the best. Yeah. One of the, you know, the best centre pairs in the club, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens the next couple of years. You got guys like, you know, Vaughney, White, and Austin.
Yep.
Mate, they're superstars of the future, man. Yeah. If they can all stay together in some
capacity,
that's
going to
be hard
because
that's one of the negative things that comes out of having such a good season.
Yeah.
People start looking at it and you go, oh, gee, I want that guy.
But
it's hard.
That's where I guess it pulls every team, sort of tries to give everyone the level playing field, doesn't it? So, I don't know. It's interesting. One of the other things I want to ask you, Vaughney, give us an insight into what a standard week is for a first grade rugby league player. Like, I know, because there's all the talk that, you know, especially when shit goes wrong in rugby league, oh, these blokes have got too much time on their hands and this and that. But what's a standard week? If you're playing on the Saturday or Sunday, and you've played the Saturday, Sunday week before, where does it go from Monday through?
So if you've got the Sunday game, then generally you have the Monday off, so you have that recovery day.
Yep.
Tuesday is a recovery day, so you go into club line. We got a club line in Sizeac and Belconnen, and we'll do like a recovery sort of weights sort of thing. So we're on the treadmill for probably about 12 minutes. And then we do like a flush sort of weights.
Just get the blood going.
And then you go to AIS for a recovery plunge pool sort of thing.
Hot and cold,
ice bath and spa and all that. And then you do a review of the actual game on the recovery day. And then from that...
Do you watch a video with the review?
So it's good after a win, not so good after a loss?
After a loss, you get peppered. Yeah.
Here's where you missed a tackle. Yeah. Here's another one.
I mean, you know, if you stuffed up that weekend, then you sort of dread the review a little bit because there's no, you know... you get called out. And,
but you know, it's a good incentive in front of it. You get called out in front
exactly.
of the boys, but yeah. good incentive not to do it again.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And then we get a massage that afternoon, which is good. So yeah. It's more of a relaxing day. And then yeah. The next day is field and weights.
Yep.
You do that sort of the next couple of days and then you get the day off and then back into a captain's run,
yep.
Which is just sort day of like fine-tuning all your pays and that kind of stuff and then yep. back into the game again.
Yeah, nice.
So usually, I mean, the five-day turnarounds are pretty hard because you don't have obviously a lot of time on the field and during sort of the back end of the season, you're sort of just recovering and trying to get your body right for the next game. But if you've got a 7-day turnaround, then that's the best. You know,
beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing.
The NRL needs to sort out that whole Brisbane getting every Friday night game, don't they?
It's ridiculous.
What a load of shit
that is. Yeah, yeah.
Is that mainly for TV?
Oh, man, I don't know if it was heat reasons at the start of the season because it's hot up there, but the Titans didn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they'll have any excuse that they can sort of, you know, get a hold
is
of
it. Is it a ratings thing? Do Brizzy rate pretty well?
Well, in Brisbane they do, but I think what happens is when they did the two Friday night games, they always wanted a Brisbane game for TV up there. But now the fact that it's going all back to the NRL scheduling after David Smith's, you know, debacle with the bloody TV rights, it's all going to sort itself out.
What happened there?
Well, he's the reason, you know, that the best game last weekend was on Fox and only half the population saw it. And the game on free-to-air was shit. It was St. George and it wasn't St. George and Newcastle. Who was it? It was a game that had no bearing on the final series.
So a shit team, so Newcastle.
Yeah, well, Newcastle and St. George was Saturday, and that was a rubbish one as
good
well.
Good one, Smithy.
Yeah, no, terrible. But anyway, what I want to do right now, though, is play this.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
All right, normally this is questions for us, Benny, but I thought we'd get questions for Paul, seeing as he was coming in. So these are all legit questions off our Facebook page, mate.
Okay.
One of them is from Duke Didier.
Of course
we'll save that for last.
That's surprising.
Benny, you can start off. That way you get to read out Duke's question last.
Am so I starting off with Crafties?
You start off with the first one with Crafty.
Well, Adrian Kraft, who's a jiu-jitsu player / police officer, he's a great bloke.
Yep.
So don't take any offence.
Well, don't want to get on the wrong side of him.
Here we go.
And guess who gets mentioned? Do you find Duke Didier to be a pest or is he really your friend? Serious question. Are you lining up for Italy again in the Rugby League World Cup qualifiers? Start with Duke.
So the first one of the question.
Column A, column B.
It's funny. Me and Dukey, we get along because we've got very out there personalities and we get on very well. And Dukey, he's just a big attention seeker, really.
Yeah, if
he can have everyone's attention, then we'll make him happy. And it fuels him to, you know, to keep on going. So, and on the other hand, the Italian question, I would like to. They've got a couple of qualifying games over in Europe at the end of the year. And
you're the world's biggest Italian.
The Italian stallion.
Yeah.
What kind of Italian surname is Vaughn?
Yeah, well, that's something.
Should be Vornio or something. Vornio,
yeah. I'll run with that, actually. I'll change that to. You know, it was funny because when we went to the World Cup, no one really spoke Italian because it was all, you know.
Come start.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good start. And, you know, no one knew the Italian national anthem. It was pretty funny because we're all Australian-based players. Yeah, so that was funny. But I'd definitely like to play in the qualifying games. But I guess it comes down back to management at the Raiders, if they will let me or not. But
yep.
I'd like to definitely play, yeah.
What are the dates for that, the World Cup?
I got no idea. I haven't paid attention.
Yeah.
I kind of turned off football halfway through the year, given the season, the night's had. Yeah. Stop worrying.
Mate, you could have turned 18, off after round 2.
18 losses in a row, wasn't it?
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks. Nice. Yeah. I think you're right, Paulie.
This one from Jonathan Duval, good mate of mine, muso around town,
yep.
Gigging all over the place. Big Queanbeyan boy, loves his Queanbeyan. Will Raiders play any NRL games at Seaford in 2017? Maybe a trial match?
Yeah, I think we usually play Newcastle in the trial matches.
I went to one there last year, right before the week before my Aussie title fight. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to play all of our junior matches at Seaford Oval, like SC Ball and Howard Matz, and I love it. It's a great field, and you know,
a lot
I think
of history.
Yeah, and it'll be packed out.
Any field where there's cars on the other side, and when the try scores, you get a big horn. That's Australia. Awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And you sit in the back of the ute and watch it.
Yeah. So I mean, it'll be good for Queanbeyan, and obviously being the you know, the main foundation of Canberra when they played, it would be great to go back there. But you know, I'll get behind that. Yeah.
I've got another personal question just by looking at you.
Yeah.
Based upon your cauliflower ears.
Terrible, aren't
they? It's a two-part question.
Yep.
Have you done any grappling with Duke? And can you fit in like an earbud like from your,
you
know, your iPod?
It's funny because I can't, but I'm always
important stuff. Man.
I'm always cleaning my ears because it gets a little bit damp in there. I don't know if it's moisture or what it is, but it's
trapped.
It's gross, yeah. But I wear the earplugs that you actually have to push in.
Yeah.
So and also
Just from user packs.
Is that
scrums,
from scrums?
Just scrums?
Yeah, it's from scrums and just sort of getting your heads in a tackle. Yeah,
it's amazing how some people, I don't get them because Josh Tonner right now, he's got a black ear that looks like an oyster hanging off his ear.
Yeah, but he's had about five fights in 7
yeah,
days.
Yeah, but he's only got punched in the ear once. And I've had black ears and bruised ears and they never turn cauliflower. Some people get them real easy and some people don't get them at all.
Yeah, I'll blame my doctor for when I got my cauliflowers. He was forever draining it and got the needle in there, taking all the blood out and then it just calcified and then I'll blame him for me bad looks.
Hey man, it works for Randy Couture.
Yeah,
like you know, I love how in the first Expendables movie that he was in, which was Expendables 2. No, it was Expendables 1. How there was a whole scene basically describing why his ears looked like did.
I'll tell you what, he's been doing acting for like 5 years now.
Yeah,
and he's shit. I love Randy,
I'm with you, mate. I'm with you.
But he's got no range at all. Put me in there, man. Seriously.
Also, back to your question about Diddy, if I do wrestle him, sometimes we have a couple of beers. I'm always telling him he's got, was he 5-0 in MMA?
Yeah.
I'll always tell him I'll be his first defeat.
5-1. 5-1.
And if you listen to this, Diddy, I will take you down with a hip toss, mate, because that's definitely my specialty.
5-1.
All right. Well, listen, we'll leave Boppo's question out of this because the whole thing's still going on with Jack White at the judiciary now.
Maybe we can touch on that.
We touched on that earlier, how it affected the team. So I'll go with this one. Rod Flynn's another mate of mine who's a tragic night supporter who wants to have you signed with this year's Wooden Spoon for 2017, please.
Well, it's not a real good sell, is it? Wooden Spooners. I know, yeah, but...
Shut up and take more.
I've got the cash.
All right, still no updates from James Hooper. I've just had a look. Still 25 minutes going through the video, so they're taking a good look at this.
Due to the magic of technology, we'll actually be able to answer that in 5 minutes.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see how we go. All right, Duke's question.
So, the man of the moment, this is from Duke. Please ask Paul to retell from start to finish the time in 2014 against the Storm when he beat the entire team by himself to win the game. Then ask him why he feels the need to always seek so much attention. Sincerely, Potts.
That is a massive stitch up, isn't it?
I'm going to completely disregard that question. It's not worthy of an answer.
I remember that game, man. I think you played bloody well, mate.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, I do remember that.
Appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and that was down in Melbourne at Amy Park, wasn't it? That one?
Oh, was that Canberra Saturday, actually?
Was a Canberra
one. Yeah, I'll never forget it. Best moment of my life. Yeah, it was nice. Awesome. Yeah.
Very nice. Yep. I do remember that game, too. It was a great one.
Thanks.
All right. Well, I think, it sucks that if the judiciary had started on time, we would have been able to do this interview.
If What's-His-Name didn't miss his flight.
Yeah, that's right. We would have known all about it. But, mate, I guess, with you being on the extended bench and Junior back, it's footy, I guess, is what they say, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's frustrating, but, you know, I would love to be there for for my first final in Canberra, but, it's not going that way, but, I wish all the boys...
So Mountie's still in? Are they done?
They got the week off. They've won the first game of the final.
So you'll be out there at the game on Saturday?
I will be out there. Well, I've got to warm up.
Yeah,
I've got to be 18th man, so it's even a bigger kick in the guts, but I've got to warm up with the boys and then take my jersey off in the sheds, but I'll do whatever's best for the team and if that's sitting out
Good on you, mate. Yeah. I'll tell you what, the form you're carrying on at the moment, whatever happens for the rest of this season, you'll be hitting the ground running next
team. Yeah, I mean, I guess it is good too for the team. You never know who's going to pick up a knock over the first final.
Yeah.
If you get first final, I know the team gets a week off.
Yep.
But you never know. I mean, there's 3 games, including the grand final, if the Raiders get there. So who knows, man?
Yeah, it's exciting times for the club. They broke a record where they won 10 in a row. That hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all positive for the club. And, it's... the club's bigger than one player, so it's fantastic.
Beautiful. Mate, really appreciate you making the effort to come out and record with us tonight.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, boys. I've really enjoyed it. It's been awesome. Mate.
On the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
You know, to liven things up.
Well, it was great that we could get listener question time sorted out with Paul Vaughan, but we didn't let Paulie play a song. Maybe next time he's on the podcast after he's joined the Knights. Hopefully. God, I hope he goes to the Knights. We need someone like him who can bend the line, Benny, because we've been shit out this year.
One good player.
Yeah, one good. Yeah, that's all we need. We just need one. We get one good one there.
Does Andrew Johns have any kids?
He does, but his young bloke's not a footy player at all.
Vinny?
No.
Soccer?
I don't know. He just steered completely away from rugby league, as you would.
Yeah.
I think if your old man was like Joey, you'd just go, nah, I don't want a part of it.
My dad was like a self-taught carpenter, awesome woodworker, and I just cannot stand anything to do with tools. That's why I'm the least handy bloke you'll ever meet. But I can do a car tying a light bulb, so my masculinity is in
tech.
There you go. See, I was, my old man was a butcher, so that's why I like meat. So I'll leave
and
it at that.
You're a Viking as well.
Oh, well, indeed. Indeed. So, yeah. All right, now we've got a listener request here, Benny.
Hit from us my up. Mate, Clarky's back. Jason yeah? Clark, the former heart and soul of Bulldog Jim Canberra. Absolute legend. He's written a little thing with this. And yeah. I'll give it a quick read out. So, random 2 a.m. sitting in the ER song request. I'm not sure what's going on there, but I hope you're all right, mate. He's requested Butterfingers Fig Jam.
Oh,
it's weird how the sleep-deprived mind works sometimes. I have no reasoning why this struck me now to request this, other than the song is funny and has a good beat. Keep up the solid work, mate. Well, we'll keep up the solid work. We'll play this for you. And I hope you're all right, mate. I'll have to send you a Facebook message to see what's going on.
Well, you know what Fig Jam stands for, don't you?
Is it sexual?
No. I'm good. Just ask me.
Wow.
You've never heard that before, Benny.
No.
There you go. See, I love the podcast. Sometimes you teach me things.
Man.
Other times I teach you things.
Well, that's going to come in handy. But the only problem is I'll have to explain it to everyone.
No, everyone except you knows what Fig Jam means.
No, they don't, man.
My
11-year-old. Everyone over 40.
My 11-year-old knows what Fig Jam
everyone
means.
Everyone over 40 and under 12 then.
Oh.
I'm stuck in the middle. I missed out. I missed out on Fig Jam.
Let's just play it, shall we? Here's Butterfingers on the podcast.
This morning, but I didn't wake till the afternoon because I slept in late. With a great mental state and a date with destiny, I rolled down the block without a cop or even stressing me, let alone arresting me or giving me a ticket. It's coming in the summer and the weather's fucking wicked, so I figured I'd be hitting the beach, looking skinny dipper's titties and get something to eat. After half a pound of chips and a flounder burger, I'm sitting on my ass like a council worker, reminiscing about being pissed off about a house burning down to the ground. I'm being out on my ass before my change of fortune. Now I score shoes, don't get up before noon. Said your mama's on the head of my knob, and it's better than heading to my dead end job, because the boss was a cockhead when I was a clerk. So I clocked him and now I don't work. It's a beautiful day and I can use a cliche, cause I am the greatest, like Cassius Clay. I got the world at my feet and my toe jam's nasty.
Big jam,
fuck, I'm good, just ask me. I couldn't give a shit about your corporate hierarchy.
Big jam,
fuck, I'm good, just ask me.
I can't believe how cold I am.
Off a buck of bongs. If you don't like it, you can come suck a long dick, cause I'm hip-hop all the way to hip-hop. I get so placid you think I'm drinking gin rock, but I'm shit hot no matter how you look at it, and my lyrics make you wanna read the book a little. Oh, cause I'm cooking it right at the Iron Chef. That's why I'm deaf. Now to the high clef. Chief Wiggum, man, the fact I never lag, it's like a magic pack of Tim Tams. Where the duck's nuts and you suckin' on and give a damn. Suck it on the cut, they should call me Edward Scissorhands, to give a hand to me and my associates. Well, that's just inappropriate. Smoke me a kipper, bitch. I'm from the Yipper Switch side of town. Don't forget to write it down.
Westside.
But the fucking ain't gangster rap. Think you're tougher than you probably suffer wanker's cramp. And I'll thank you to fuck right off. Professional fuckwits, take one knot off. I'm evil lady with a rocksteady microphone mastery.
DJ.
Fuck, I'm good, just ask me. As a concept, your intellect can't grasp me.
DJ.
Fuck, I'm good, just ask me.
I hate
rhinoplasty.
Big jam.
Fuck, I'm good, just ask me. Kicking ass in the chop, but you can't class me.
Big jam.
Fuck, I'm good, just ask me. I just had a threesome with your mama and your auntie.
Big jam.
Fuck, I'm good, just ask me. And they're coming back to start for the Bukkake party.
Big jam.
My dick is bigger than a wig
wham.
You can see my pee-pee 3 feet above my TV. If you are getting very sleepy,
wake up.
These cards need a shake up.
I'm a jet set, I go get up, but I got a vendetta. Just got a death threat over the phone. Better go lay low on the ground like a bilby.
Big jam.
Chill, man, people wanna kill me, but I don't let that bullshit sweat me. I'm at your mama's if you wanna come and get me. A shady fuck, I may be stuck in a crazy situation, but I'm favoured by lady luck. You wanna stop me, you'd wanna do it properly.
Ah, fuck, somebody shot me.
Butterfingers and Fig Jam for Jason. And as Benny said just before, we hope Jason's okay. He was in the ER when he sent us that song request on Facebook.
Well, I'm reassured
yeah.
that he was still able to request a
get
song.
Get on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So...
Hopefully
that's a good sign.
Indeed. And, folks, if you ever want to get a song on the show, we'll play bloody anything. Trust us. All you need to do is hit us up on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/uppercutpodcast, or you can email us uppercutpodcast@gmail.com. You can even get us on Twitter. We are at Biff and Riff is what the handle is on Twitter.
And now it's uppercut time, and you're an angry man, Scotty. You've always got someone to uppercut.
Yeah, well, mate, I think this week, Canberra. Canberra has an uppercut.
/NRL fans?
Actually, a lot of NRL fans came out of the woodwork to support Jack White. Yeah. The match review committee at the NRL, seriously, for them to turn around and go, nah, Mick Ennis is fine for his tackle. In all honesty, I think both blokes probably should have got a week.
Yeah.
Given that the shoulder charge shouldn't be banned for a start, you know, but if you make contact with someone's head, then you go for a row. But anyway.
I reckon, in my less educated opinion, because I don't follow it as closely as you, but if based upon the rules, they probably should have both got a week. But
that's what I'm saying.
If
yeah.
you're going to get Ennis off, you've got to give Jack off too. Jack off.
You've done a Ricky Stewart. That's fantastic. Oh, dear. But yes, now the fact that, Michael Ennis was scot free to play, and then they said to Jack White, no, you're going to have 4 weeks off. It just proves how ludicrous the NRL and the match review committee. I mean, there's that Nathan Brown dickhead, not the Knights coach. I actually support him, even though we've had the worst season ever. Nathan Brown that played for the Bunnies this year, who's an absolute grub of a player, he kicked a bloke this year, and the match review committee said he had no case to answer for. Kicked a bloke.
And meanwhile, the guy that walked past the ref and gently touched him just
so Tyson Frizzell. Tyson Frizzell got done. That's horseshit. Yeah, anyway, so I reckon
it's the pussification of the world, man.
Indeed. Well, rugby league as well, mate. Let's have three uppercuts. You got them in you?
Oh,
you look fit.
I'll have to warm the left arm up, but I'm ready to go.
All right, let's go. Michael Buettner, your head's even fucking uglier now, son.
Do I have to see the judiciary for that? Is there anyone left? There's no one there. I'm off. Declare myself.
They're all asleep, free. Benny. They're all asleep. All right. Well, next week I'm looking forward to hearing about Lucas Big Daddy Brown. You alluded to that before.
Yeah. Some good news, and I've already touched on what I'm going to do next week. So.
Yeah, beautiful. I don't know what I'm going to do next week.
I'm sure it'll be
brilliant. Who knows? Yeah,
absolutely brilliant.
Well, after 1 week of the finals, we'll have a look at the rugby league and see where that's at. And
I'm
go
sure
from there.
You'll have a bee in your bonnet about something else, mate.
Someone will piss me off during the week, Benny.
You're a realist, man.
We're out of here. See you, folks.
See you, folks.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed rhyme.
And then Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan
and The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time.